In just 2 days, we'll mark the 6th anniversary of the Las Vegas shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. Firing from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino, Stephen Paddock fired more than 1,000 rounds in 11 minutes. After killing 60 people and injuring nearly 500, Paddock turned the gun on himself. It is the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. The motive? No one knows. That's right, the FBI is stumped, as well as the Las Vegas Metro Police. Last year, the FBI released documents in response to a FOIA request. Nothing in there exposes a motive either. It does give a little insight into Paddock's mindset, possibly. He is described as a prolific gambler. He would gamble anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a day playing video poker. Sometimes he played up to 18 hours a day. According to interviews conducted by the FBI of Paddock's friends and acquaintances, we know that they described Paddock as strange and introverted and someone who never made eye contact. Paddock only wanted to talk about gambling. Another gambler claims that Paddock was, quote, very upset that the days of pampering high rollers was over. The FBI's report from 2019 suggests Paddock might have sought notoriety and perhaps wanted to follow in the footsteps of his criminal father. The FBI also notes Paddock's physical and mental health was declining, as well as his money. But just because the FBI doesn't know what the motive is, doesn't mean they're worried to find out. In fact, when the FOIA request documents were released, the FBI and Las Vegas Metro Police cautioned that, quote, speculating on a motive causes more harm to the hundreds of people who were victims that night. Your government just told you not to look any further or you'll cause harm. So we're going to listen to them, right? No. Their thinly veiled chastising of conspiracy theories is only an invitation to the tinfoil hat society. There must be more to this story, right? Yes, a lot more. There's the usual eyewitness reports of multiple shooters, and there's a timeline that keeps changing, oddities that seem to pop up at each new mass shooting we experience. There's the usual retraction of statements, like how it was first reported that the police saw Paddock shoot himself in the head, only for that to get recanted. There's video from the BBC showing the exterior of Paddock's room with just one window broken. The next day, they show a second window was broken. Yet, when the police entered the room, you can see an officer say that there are no broken windows.
I do not have a broken window.
There's also two reports of an explosion and glass falling after the shooting concluded.
Sunday, October 1, 2017, 23:32:13.
911 emergency, Brown 15968. Do you need police, fire, or medical? Hello?
Oh, just got a question here. So I just checked into Mandalay Bay, and I'm on the 21st floor, and I'm not sure if I should be trying to leave the hotel or stay in my hotel.
Do not go anywhere, okay? Please stay there and do not go anywhere. It is not safe for you.
Okay, and I just heard what sounded like a explosion above me and then glass coming down around me or, you know, right outside the window. So I don't know if, have you guys heard anything about explosions?
Yes, it's the whole strip right now, okay?
And let's not forget that it took officers more than an hour to break into Paddock's room, or that there's a 6-minute delay from when Paddock fired at a security guard in the hallway to when he began firing into the crowd below. If that's not enough, here are 15 weird things that happened the night of the shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on October 1st, 2017. Buckle up, because we're about to go deep into the rabbit hole. Number 1. Helicopters were identified flying over the musical festival during the shooting. According to Flight Radar, 3 helicopters take off at 9:40 p.m. from Maverick Helicopters. They then land behind the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino at 9:52 p.m., shortly before the shooting began. They then turn off their transponders and stay throughout the duration of the shooting. Those 3 transponders are then turned back on and depart from Maverick Helicopters right after the shooting ended. But you don't see them go from the Mandalay Bay to the Maverick Helicopters. They just appear suddenly and take off in a group of 8 helicopters. If you look at footage of that night, you can see what appears to be muzzle flashes in the sky coming from behind Mandalay Bay. You can also hear a helicopter in some of the videos. There are also firsthand accounts of witnesses saying that gunfire was coming from a helicopter as they were running away. There's also radar data that shows a police helicopter landing near Mandalay Bay during the time of the shooting. There's also footage from a pedestrian showing police loading machine guns into that helicopter. This has led many to think that police were planning to have to shoot at other helicopters that night, likely the three that landed behind the Mandalay Bay and had their transponders turned off. What were those planes doing? Why do we see muzzle flashes behind the hotel? And why did they turn off their transponders? I highly recommend you watch the clip in the description as the narrator walks through the flight radar data of that night. There are many other strange occurrences in the sky that you really need to see instead of just hear. Number 2. Radios for security officers at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino were not working that night. Again, click on the link in the description and you'll see video of security officers not getting their radios to work. Number 3. Evidence suggests that Paddock, the shooter, was not alone. The police tried finding a mystery woman that was seen with Paddock in the days leading up to the shooting. Room service receipts from Paddock's stay also lead many to believe that there was someone staying with him before the shooting. Multiple hotel room keys were used just 30 minutes before the shooting, and they also found several pairs of gloves and mobile phones inside his hotel room when the police finally got there. He also used smart keys, only available to hotel staff. Paddock also used the service elevator. The Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino says that using the service elevator was one of the perks because he had a high roller status. Also, it was originally reported that Paddock checked into the hotel on September 28th, which was 3 days before the shooting. However, it was discovered he actually checked in on September 25th. So why was there confusion about when he arrived? Number 4. Sheriff Joseph Lombardo said at a press conference there was evidence that Paddock planned to escape after the shooting. He had stocked his car with explosives and had personal protection gear as part of a possible escape plan. So why did he then suddenly shoot himself in the head? Especially since it took the police over an hour to break into his room after the shooting began. Seems like he would have plenty of time to leave. Number 5. A Clark County judge granted a temporary restraining order at the request of a victim. This order prevented MGM Resorts International, who owned the Mandalay Bay Hotel, from destroying any evidence related to the shooting. Why would they grant this if they didn't fear that they were trying to actually destroy the evidence? Number 6. According to the Las Vegas Review-Journal and their sources, Paddock fired at two jet fuel tanks sitting across the street that was just 1,100 feet away from the music festival. His suite was spread across a bend in the building, allowing him to have one window that was aimed at concertgoers and one at the tanks. Paddock managed to get two holes into one of the jet fuel tanks, but failed to start a fire or explosion. Near these jet fuel tanks were private aircraft bases. Construction crews repaired the holes, and FBI agents inspected the tanks and checked the line of fire from the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Before construction crews repaired the holes, FBI agents inspected the tanks and checked the line of fire, showing it coming from the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Number 7. Stephen Paddock's computer hard drive went missing. Investigators also found that Paddock bought software to erase files from a hard drive. Police believe he removed the hard drive before committing suicide. But where would he have taken it if he didn't leave the room after he began firing and then he killed himself? Number 8. Take a look at how spread out the 911 calls were that night. Go to VegasShootingMap.com. Someone, nobody knows who, has plotted each call, death, and reports of shots fired that evening. You'd think the call would only come from the area immediately surrounding the music festival and the Mandalay Bay. Not quite. The calls and reports stretch 4 miles along Las Vegas Boulevard. People report seeing gunmen in lobbies and shots ringing out miles away. Why? And why didn't the police investigate what appears to be a 4-mile crime scene? News would have you believe it was just the Mandalay Bay and the Route 91 Music Festival that were affected. Number 9. A security guard at Mandalay Bay named Jesus Campos was the first person to encounter shooter Stephen Paddock. In fact, Campos was shot in the hallway on the 32nd floor when he caught the attention of Paddock. At that point, Paddock opened fire and managed to shoot Campos in the leg. But the weird part is how Campos went temporarily missing. Twice. The first time he went missing was immediately after the shooting. He left the country. Where he went specifically, no one knows. However, just 1 week after the shooting, Customs and Border Patrol records show Campos re-entering the United States from Mexico at the San Ysidro border crossing in California. The second time he went missing was when Campos was scheduled to do interviews with five TV networks. The reporters were waiting until suddenly John Hickey, the president of the union Campos belonged to, came out to the press and said, quote, "The union doesn't have any idea where he's at this time." Hickey had spent the prior 4 days with Campos, helping him prepare for the interviews. Campos was staying at a Las Vegas hotel suite. Hickey had a meeting with the local union president in the bedroom of Campos' suite. Campos, another union member, and a security guard hired by MGM to protect Campos waited in the living room. Hickey says when he left the meeting, he walked out into the living room and Campos was gone, as well as the other two people with him. Hickey said he'd been informed that Campos was taken to a UMC quick care emergency care facility. However, a spokesperson for the clinic said there was no record of his visit. Several days later, Hickey claims Campos was camera shy and would, quote, tell his story at a time and place of his choosing. That time was October 8th, and the place was the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Coincidentally, Ellen's show was owned by MGM. Number 10. Paddock was packing some major heat that night. He had 23 guns in his hotel room, including high-powered rifles capable of penetrating police armor. The FBI raided Paddock's home, finding an additional 19 weapons and several thousand rounds of ammo. What exactly was he planning that required that much firepower if he ended up killing himself after only 11 minutes? Number 11. The Las Vegas police chief at the time was John Pelletier. He would go on to be the police chief of Maui when they had their massive wildfire just a year or so ago. He has his own checkered past, which is worth a separate deep dive if you have the time. For example, randomly, after 22 years with the Las Vegas Metro Police, he left to become the police chief of Maui in 2021. After less than 2 months on the job, the Maui Police Commission voted to give him a 24% pay increase, despite serious workplace complaints regarding his leadership. Number 12. Paddock's body, blood spatter, and placement of gun appears to be inconsistent with suicide. First, there's blood in the middle of his chest, and it looks like there's a center of concentration from the blood, indicating he might have been shot in the chest. There's also an obvious pool of dried blood on the carpet under his head, as well as on his face. On top of both the carpet and his face is a very fresh pool of blood. So at some point, blood has dried, and then there's been fresher blood after the fact that appeared. And despite him killing himself right after the shooting, as we're told, Paddock's time of death from the coroner was marked as noon the following day, October 2nd. Number 13. Stephen Paddock's brother, Bruce Douglas Paddock, was arrested for possessing more than 600 pornographic images of children. However, the case was eventually dropped, which is a bit strange. How often do you hear cases of child sexual abuse material being dropped? Number 14. Body camera footage shows two police officers and three armed Mandalay Bay security supervisors on the 31st floor while Paddock was firing on the 32nd floor. Two of those supervisors are George Umstadt and Michael Oelke. However, that third armed supervisor was never identified or mentioned in the Las Vegas Metro Police Department preliminary or final criminal investigative reports. There were also other lists of officers that night working, and they were never interviewed. For the final oddity, consider this question. Was the Las Vegas shooting a distraction for an attempted assassination against a Saudi prince? Enter Mohammed bin Salman, commonly referred to as MBS. He was appointed Crown Prince just 3 months before the shooting in Vegas. President Trump even showed up to give his approval and endorsement. This created a major internal family rift between MBS and his cousin, Prince Al-Waleed. During the shooting, MBS was staying at the Tropicana Hotel, which was beside the Mandalay Bay. Click on the link in the description box and you can see him being escorted out by a SWAT team during the shooting. The cousin he was feuding with, Prince Al-Waleed, owned the Four Seasons Las Vegas, which was located inside the Mandalay Bay on floors 35 through 39. That would have been just above where Paddock was firing from on the 32nd floor. Prince Al-Waleed was a joint owner of this Four Seasons hotel with none other than Bill Gates, because this man shows up every time something funny is going on. This might be a better explanation for why Paddock had access to staff keys in the service elevator. If Al-Waleed owned the Four Seasons, and if he did, in fact, hire Paddock to do the shooting, then it's all likelihood that he would have given him staff keys that he had access to. But why Paddock? Well, many allege that Paddock's wealth came from being a gun runner for Prince Al-Walid. Paddock was a pilot after all, and he had quite a bit of money that doesn't really seem to add up to have come from his gambling. However, instead of escaping, as it appears he had planned, he was killed and his body would have been staged to make it look like a suicide. Let me know in the comments what you think happened that night. Was that a plausible explanation, an attempted assassination against the Saudi prince? Is there a reasonable explanation for the helicopters being in the sky? Or do you have your own weird conspiracy that you think actually happened that night? Thanks for listening to Overnight Opinions. Be sure to tune in next Sunday night for an all-new episode. In the meantime, if you're looking to enlighten yourself with some controversial topics, check out my interview with Celeste Solemn, who talks about how the global elite are planning to kill you. Or check out my interview with Dustin Nemos, who talks about how Trump is the Antichrist and how Trump staged his assassination attempt. Those interviews are so controversial, you'll only find them on BitChute, Rumble, and Brighteon.